It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Toad, Ratty, Badger and Mole stood silently in the passage under the great banqueting room in Toad Hall. They could hear the weasels and ferrets uproaring with laughter and cheering and banging on the tables. Badger drew himself up, took a firm grip of his stick with both paws, glanced around at his comrades and cried, "The hour has come. Follow me," and flung the doors open wide. My, what a squealing and a squeaking and a screeching filled the air. Well might the terrified weasels dive under the tables and spring madly up the windows. Well might the ferrets rush wildly for the fireplace and get hopelessly jammed in the chimney. Well might tables and chairs be upset and glass and china be sent crashing to the floor in the panic of that terrible moment when the four heroes strode wrathfully into the room. There were only four in all, but the panic-stricken weasels, the hall seemed like it was full of monstrous animals, grey, black, brown and yellow, whooping and flourishing enormous cudgels. And they broke and fled with squeals of terror and dismay, this way and that, through the windows, up the chimney, anywhere to get out the reach of those terrible sticks. The affair was soon over, and up and down the whole length of the hall strode the four friends, and in 5 minutes the room was cleared. Now, of course, the wrath of Mr. Toad kindled against the weasels and ferrets is not quite the same as that of our Lord against the money changers and the dove sellers. Still, to my childish mind, it always captured something of the feeling of that day in Jerusalem. Today on Advent Sunday, we're invited to consider the reception of Christ into our own temple. Advent is a time to clear house. A temple which was built for the Spirit of the Lord to dwell in has become once again a counting house, an envious, deceitful, exploitative body of manipulation and greed. This temple must be restored to its former glory. In baptism, we were sanctified as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and now it's time, once again, to throw out the moneylenders who have crept in and to sweep away the cobwebs. It's time to proclaim the year of the Lord. When the Lord first came to dwell among his nomadic people, he chose the Ark of the Covenant, which was kept in the tabernacle, a tent which moved throughout the lands which the people of God sojourned in. When they settled, King David wished to make a house for the Lord, saying, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the Ark of God dwelleth within curtains." But it was his son Solomon who built a temple for the Lord at Jerusalem. And it was there that God manifested himself on the earth, and on the day of the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. The first temple consisted of the great or outer court, where the people assembled to worship, the inner court, where the priests assembled to worship, the larger holy place, the Hechal, the temple sanctuary, that is, and the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Looking back today, we can see the first coming of Jesus into the world. And we know that he was born as a babe in arms, vulnerable and weak. He grew to maturity, suffered, died and rose again, ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, as St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Corinthians. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you?" To our bodies turn we then. Just as there are four parts of the temple, so we today see four parts of the body, which is a temple. Firstly, the outer court, which I'm designating as our outward secular acts. The second, inner court, our religious outward acts. The third is the temple sanctuary, our inner life and the words that flow from there. And fourth, the Holy of Holies, our innermost heart, that inner life which is hidden, known only to us and God. So how do we cleanse this temple in Advent? Through the giving of alms, prayer, fasting, the recitation of scripture and confession. So it's time to sweep the temple. The first court of this temple is our outward secular actions, those things which we do in the ordinary run of our lives. The scope for that is terrifyingly vast, but the warning which Christ gives us here is inescapable. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. The temple of God was not made to be ordered towards money, but love and worship and charity. As countless loose change pots on shop counters all over the country put it, the love of money is the root of all evil. Purge yourselves. In Advent, then, the first way in which we can cleanse the temple of our bodies, I suggest, is to give alms to the poor and to the needy and the vulnerable. As a Christian in whom the Spirit of God dwells, your checkbook is as important as your prayer book. Secondly, we cleanse the inner court of the temple, our religious actions. The services we attend, the rituals we observe. Advent is a chance to sweep away the cobwebs of familiarity and habitual careless actions. We do this through renewed prayer and through fasting. Give special attention to the Advent collects. Read, mark, learn, inwardly digest them, because they will be an anchor of grace and a way of bringing true attention to God and to your worship. And though Advent is not especially marked out as a fast in the Book of Common Prayer table of fasts, it's an excellent time to enter into this Christian discipline. More so than posture, fasting is an uncomfortable physical reminder of the part that our bodies play in prayer. Next, we come to the temple sanctuary from which our words flow. St. James warns us that with the tongue, we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which we are made after similitude of God. The tongue is like a bit in the horse's mouth, with which we can direct the entire body, or like the helm of a ship. Do not let the tongue defile the body, but instead proclaim peace and mercy. This we can do through the recitation of Scripture. Make your body a temple which proclaims the truth of the gospel. And as our Lord says in St. Mark's Gospel, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, which brings us to the inner sanctum, the holy of holies of this temple, the heart. Finally, from the outer courts of our secular and our religious actions, through to the sanctuary of praise, which is our mouths, we enter into the holy of holies, the heart. In the heart, we hide our innermost thoughts, hopes, and desires. This altar is deeply personal and deeply sacred. And so this cleansing is done with delicacy and patience and with the help of the priestly ministry, that rite for which Christ gave power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins, the ministry of confession. This Advent, I encourage you all to cleanse the inner place, that holy of holies, in the sacrament of confession. As the psalmist writes, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, or else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." This is the sacrifice which God requires of us. God will pardon and absolve all them that truly repent. So this is how we keep a holy Advent, in making ready to celebrate the Nativity, yes, but ready at a moment's notice for the second coming, that we may be the dwelling place of God, holy, set apart from him, walking temples of the Holy Spirit, found worthy of him at his Advent. Through the giving of alms, prayer, fasting, and the study of Scripture and confession, we prepare the way of the Lord, making our bodies houses of prayer, that when he comes again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead, we may be found holy and acceptable in his sight. Amen.